team, assemble. Yes, it's the Film Drunk Frotcast live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We got some fun news to talk about. We're going to Chicago, but we'll get to that in a second. This is your ear rapist, Ben. Super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me.
Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
Aw, yeah.
And future Squirrel Hall of Fame artist Brett's in the house. Oh, he put the mic up to his mouth and he didn't make a sound.
He tricked us all.
That's called a fake out in the frot biz.
Dipsy doodle.
It's called a squirrel juke.
that's a squirrel deroo. But first of all, I wanted to thank everyone who's backed the project on Kickstarter. Thank you, everyone. We're literally overwhelmed with the response. So I forget.
It's if you had the over on whelming, you would have won.
You would have won.
Sure.
Crushed it. It crushed. But it's not just the Film Drunk Frotcast in Chicago. It's the Film Drunk Frotcast in Chicago, brought to you by Tall Tale Productions. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later. So he's the platinum sponsor for the weekend. We're going to talk to him a little bit later. But we're also going to get Laramie on. What else are we doing tonight, Vince?
We got Laramie. He's got some lists for us. He's going to talk about some TIFF movies. We both saw Dread 3D, which was actually pretty legit. And I got some clips from Real Sports from our buddy Bernie.
The oldest man in journalism.
Yeah. TIFF is Toronto International Film Festival.
That is correct.
Yes. It's the Tiffany Film Festival.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, someone sent us this clip, which is Arnold workout set to 80s classics.
Okay. Are we doing
Isn't
that
it
now?
Just going to be 80s classics then if you don't have the
Next
video?
Next are the doorknob pull-ups. This exercise is extremely effective for your lats and your upper back.
I like it.
Stand with your feet on either side of an open door and grasp the doorknobs with both hands. Slowly sink away from the door so that your back jackknifes and your arms extend fully and lock. Now pull yourself back up to the starting position. Let your arms...
I don't know why that works so perfectly, but it does.
It's good.
That is a perfect combination.
I would listen to a lot of it. So, yeah.
Oh, those
fucking good. YouTube and the pre-roll ads.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
You try to queue up a video and they ruin you.
They just they crush you, kick you right in the dick.
So I had some... I got one more thing.
Well, Vince has got another thing. Hold on, everybody.
I got one more what's it.
You just cut yourself off there? Wait, no, stop. Brain.
Stop. Go. Stop. I've got another thing.
This thing's just called Collective Soul Cat.
Talk about listening to something. I could listen to that for like. Play it again. Is that the whole thing? And they can even change the lyrics to "Heaven Let Your Cat Shine Down."
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the little wimpy.
Kevin, let your light shine, meow. I don't know.
I like the little wimpy, like meow.
The first one,
meow. That's really good. Is that what you're finding on the internet these days?
Oh yeah, that's what I found on the internet.
So
these days. Do
those find you? Do you find them? Do people send it to you? How does it work on the internet?
Well, that one was our link master. Adam found that one.
You have a link master?
Yeah, the guy who writes our broadcast notes.
Oh,
is that how you summon Zool?
Yeah, exactly.
With the link master?
Mm-hmm. I clap my hands above my head, and then a big lightning bolt hits him.
Is he still our intern?
I don't know if I'm allowed to legally use that term.
He's getting college credit.
Yeah, no.
He's locked in a cage in Vince's apartment, if you want to be specific.
Oh.
Yeah.
More of a hostage.
Yeah, something like
that. Back to work! Intern, feed me links! I demand sustenance! I need... Where are all my links for the day?
I haven't left in 5 minutes.
I don't have something to write about. Hurry, give me a link.
That's what you sound like.
It's
that's
true.
That's where we're going with that. Is that
yeah.
That's
just quietly petting my cat.
And your dog. Simultaneously. No, you're petting your dog and your cat's petting Your dog.
Cat's rocking out the collective soul.
Meow.
So our favorite Bernie Goldberg on Real Sports was laying it down last night.
You have no legs.
So wait a second. You're telling me you survive and wake up and with no legs?
What do you say to the people who say you do have legs?
What do you say to the people who think you're faking it and actually have legs?
And I think last night's was less of the obnoxious devil's advocate journalist questions and more of the general Aaron Sorkin, this country's going to hell, you young whippersnappers.
Yeah, think?
What was the topic? Or what?
Fan violence.
I'll play you the intro, which is pretty classic in its own right.
That ball game is over. You think there's a battle on the field?
Sorry.
Take a look in the...
It started in the middle of the clip. There we go.
There was a time in America when decorum mattered. Fans went to ball games in suits and ties, when not even the craziest in the crowd would dream of dumping a beer on somebody's head or starting a brawl over some disagreement. Well, sports fans, that ball game is over. You think there's a battle on the field?
Dun, dun,
take a look in the stands these days. For some fans, it can be an all-out war.
Do we actually have empirical evidence that shows that people didn't used to fight at sporting events?
No, that's total bullshit.
I'm pretty sure people have always been idiots and have always done stupid shit like fight over fucking sports teams. Well, also, he talks about how bullying is on the rise and stuff like that, and he tries to connect it all later, and I'm pretty sure that people have always been bullied. And
yeah, but before, it killed them, so they couldn't complain about it.
Right.
They were bullied to death repeatedly.
Well, but now it's fan violence. And
before, they didn't have a webcam to hang themselves on.
Well, but now, Brendan, it's mostly rap music and video games.
The hippity-hop and the blacks.
Yeah. Separately. But video games, don't forget about the video games.
Video games.
And are we listening?
We used to go to games to escape the turmoil of the real world. These days, you can run from the real world, but you can't hide.
Wait, so that totally undercuts his whole point. That he's saying that the real world was fucked up.
But you could hide from it before, and now you can't, and that's sad.
Well, that's where strangers stop being nice and they start getting real.
But so is
in the real world.
Where 40,000 strangers all go to a sporting event.
That's right.
And shit stopped being polite and started fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you should go back and watch like Gangs in New York, like right around the time when baseball like became the national pastime.
Well, that was a documentary,
people
right?
People were really nice to each other back then.
So is it fan violence in the sense of – because there is some crazy shit, and I think part of it is just that everyone has some sort of camera now. So everything's captured, where before it was just like there was a fight, whatever. Now everything's on tape.
Yeah.
And so when you watch it, it always just seems worse when you watch it than to hear it secondhand.
Well, it's funny because you could tell it was a bogus trend, one of those bogus trend pieces, because it's like they started out with Brian Stowe, and then like the next three stories were all Bay Area based. It was like, oh, at the 49ers Raiders game and at the other 49ers Raiders game, and here we are at Pac Bell Park. It's like,
Also, when I was young and a baseball fan, the Bash Brothers were really big, the Oakland A's. And so I remember going to those Oakland A's games when I was probably 7, 8, 9 years old, and I knew that it was not a place I wanted to be. I mean, that was a scary fucking stadium to go to. This is not a new phenomenon.
Also, if you're
not to mention Candlestick, whether it was a Niners game or a Giants game, because back then they didn't have AT&T Park. That's a horrible place too.
Yeah, it's like Hunter's Point. It's in the worst part of the city.
Yeah, it's never
one
been
of the
a
worst
nice
parts
place.
Of the country.
Bernie Goldberg is about 25 years late to the party here.
Well, but the other thing I was going to say is seems to be a lot more parents flipping the fuck out and like punching refs at youth events.
That's
and,
true.
And I don't know. I don't know if that's more or less than it ever used to be. For all I know, it's the same, and now it's just caught on tape. But that shit is fucking crazy. Where it's like, my 12-year-old kid's playing in a soccer game and the ref made a bad call, I'm going to go fucking punch him.
Plus, have a little perspective on it. Because, like, the best part of punching a guy is telling all your friends afterwards about how you punched a guy. And if it's because you slugged a ref at a youth football game or because
some
dude
can't go to
was wearing a different jersey than you, don't you have to feel like a huge asshole when you tell your friends about it afterwards now?
Well, I think the guys that fight over a sports team are probably pretty proud of it. Like, dude, there's a fucking – the other team was there and I fucking – punched him.
Yeah.
I think there's a trend there because I think the stakes are a lot higher because a lot of parents have deluded themselves into thinking that their child is going to get their college paid for by sports. Because I coached high school football for 1 year. I will never do that shit again. It was the worst.
Because the parents?
The parents were the worst. I had to have honest conversations with people where I just said, your son's not going to play college football. He's not good enough.
That's because you're not coaching him right and playing him enough.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never the kid's fault.
Right.
The kids are always good enough.
Yeah.
This always. Is so foreign to me because I've always been told that I will never amount to anything.
for no matter what you do?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you try, you're going to fail.
Dude, didn't the low-carb monster get the wrestling team inspirational most inspirational award?
I think I did.
I think I did.
Really? I won one match in overtime because of points.
Well, so that's how you win a match.
I do think that there's a trend there where
you can flip them over on their back. And
maybe
the
in the past,
it's like a turtle.
Maybe in the past, parents didn't care as much about a little league score because what difference does it make? Whereas now they're thinking, hey, if my son doesn't show off and we don't get this on tape, then he's not going to get into the elite academy that trains people specifically to send him to baseball feeder schools or whatever. You know what I mean? So I do think that there's a little bit of that.
It's all a little scary. What else is Bernie have to say?
In the parking lot, if you think you're automatically safe inside a stadium where there's more security, think again.
Hostility.
How many times am I going to have to think again during this segment?
I'm tired of rethinking
things I just thought about. He told me one way to think, and then he switches it around. I'm fucking sick of this.
Brett. Multiple calls to action.
I go to sport event to not have to think.
Brett, think again. Think again.
I just want to watch the sport and not think, and then you come along.
Make me think again.
Tell me where I'm going to be safe and I'm not going to be safe, and maybe there's security guards inside. I'm so confused.
The hostility, the violence, the threats. We were scared for our safety. And I was pretty sure if the Saints had won the game that we were going to get the crap beat out of us.
By us, Don Moses means himself and his two teenage daughters.
They were all daughters are pussies, too.
Decked out in Saints jerseys since he grew up in New Orleans before moving west to California.
People started yelling and screaming. They started cursing at us.
Like what?
I love when he goads them to say all the like nasty cuss words people said, because that's basically the whole segment. Let me break this down for you: is people like watching drunk football fans slug the shit out of each other, and there's a lot of YouTube clips of that. So they're like, how can we put a bunch of these clips together and then just paper it over with this nice
with the moral high ground?
Yeah, with this nice coating of trend piece.
How do we rise above the thing we're promoting?
Yeah, basically. So every time he gets these people in an interview, he has to goad them into saying like, "Oh, so what did he say? Did he call you a motherfucker?
What else did he say?"
Yeah.
He said,
"What
motherfucker? Go back to New Orleans, or your mother's a whore, or
in front of your daughters."
I'm with my two little girls.
Is it a wind tunnel, Vince?
15, 20, 30 times before we even got to the stadium.
Once they got to their seats, it was even worse.
These nine big guys come and sit right behind us. They got jerseys on. They started screaming, you fucking Saints fans. We wish you all were dead.
But was it just a few people?
These guys had tickets and they sat behind us.
Tickets are a gang symbol. And then, if you're carrying tickets, you're definitely in a gang.
They said, New Orleans, you take it in the asshole.
Go back to the town you are from.
I would bet my fucking life no one said, I wish you were dead.
Yeah, no way.
Were you sitting behind a 14-year-old teenager?
Yeah. I wish you were dead.
I'm not going to be your friend anymore.
They said I wasn't even their real dad.
You buy dildos with your own money and then you choke on them on purpose.
Also, I'd love to know where they found this guy, because it's easy to find Brian Stowe's parents, who, by the way, that was horrific. They got beat up by a bunch of thugs, but or anyone who's actually been the victim of a crime. But then they just find this balding schlub who's like, someone called my wife a whore at a football game.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been in Animal House
where he goes, someone in there called me a fag.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever been yelled at a football game? We want to talk to you.
Oh, the Craigslist post? Yeah. Also, I don't want to seem too reductive, but it's like, how do we stop this horrible plague of violence? It's like, well, maybe if you're going to a playoff football game in a certain town, you don't go decked out in the gear of whoever they're playing. I mean, that seems not that crazy.
I would also think that, I mean, I hope there wasn't pure threats of like someone almost punching them, but if you're going to go decked out in the gear, you better be ready to get yelled at. And that's pretty much any stadium on earth. Yeah. It's like you're decked out in the other gear. I would hope that no one's just going to run up and sock you in the face if you're not doing anything. But you're decked out in gear. It's like, yeah, you're going to get fucking yelled at. That's called sports, bro.
And they're making it like it's this modern American thing. I just read Among the Thugs about like 80s soccer hooliganism in
well,
England.
That shit is
and
real.
That shit is like a million times worse than anything that's ever happened.
No one's getting their eyeballs sucked out of their skull.
This one guy sucked the other guy's eyeball. He headbutted him until he was unconscious. And then he put his mouth over the guy's eye socket, sucked his eye out, and bit his eyeball off.
That's real. That's real.
Yeah.
So I think what
that guy got called a motherfucker
to allow it.
He said my wife's a whore.
To allow it to fully sink in. I think you need to play the clip where he dives into why this is happening.
Oh yeah, we got that. That's the next one.
Is it video? Okay. Is it video
good
segue. Games?
Good seg.
Yes.
Is it video games? Teaches at Murray State in Kentucky and has written several books on fan violence.
We asked a professor of football violence.
just in the helmet and the sweater vest.
And then he explodes.
He says going to a game in America isn't what it used to be because America itself isn't what it used
to be. Oh my God.
Oh snap.
Oh my God, it's all of our faults. We should internalize this.
Wait, so you're telling me it's not identical to the way it's always been?
It's completely different.
How?
It's way worse.
Think again.
It's just reflective of where we've gotten to as a society. The lack of civility, the increase in violence that you might see, the increase in bullying that you might see.
Too many Asians.
It's just a game.
Yeah, increase in bullying.
Oh, wait, this is my favorite
question. I'm sure if you grew up in the 50s, no one messed with you ever. Everyone was super nice.
Bullying is a 90s to the 2000s invention. It didn't even exist.
This is my favorite question.
I liked it better when we burned people as witches. That was wholesome.
Like Biff was a, you know, Biff from Back to the Future. That was a character, like, that wasn't real.
Completely
that wasn't based
fictional.
In reality, yeah.
But they predicted the future, right?
When
they
I was did. A kid, this gay guy said he was gay, and we put some soap in our socks and we hit him with it, and then he stopped talking. And he stopped talking about how he was gay, and then everybody was cool after that.
Well, and he killed himself, so the problem solved itself.
one hand washed the other. Back in my time,
it's just a game. You wear the jersey of your team. I wear the jersey of my team. Who cares?
Yeah, like, it's not just a game. It's not just a game.
It may sound a bit.
It's not just a game, Vince.
It's not.
Because it's real life.
Because it's a billion-dollar fucking industry, or because someone said something naughty?
Yeah. I think we're all just... I mean, Adam Carolla talks about it all the time, how we're just like pussification of all of us. And
well, don't get me wrong. There's some idiots out there beating each other up at football games. But
I think that's the way it's always been.
I don't think it's that much different than it used to be.
And I don't know about always. You know, I can't speak for the games that I attended in the 1920s because I was young. But no, I'm sure it's always happened to some extent.
There's assholism. It just evolves into different forms.
Yes.
And the visibility is always good. The people that tend to freak out about this stuff are freaking out because it's way more apparent now. But that's absolutely good because then you can actually treat the cause instead of burying it down. It's like pretending you don't have that poisonous growing abscess in your stomach.
That's not
like,
no.
Not a thing. That's not a thing. I'm just gonna go about my day and let my dress shirt soak up all the blood.
It doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
So are you going to take the opportunity to play the clip where he uses it as a jumping point to judge all of America?
I think that was the start of it.
America's.
Are you talking about the breakdown of the.
Dr. Wan, a psychology professor, says people have a deep need
I don't know what happened
to belong to a group. And as our traditional institutions like home and family have broken down, as church attendance, especially among young people, has dropped off, some people have formed a new alliance.
Wait,
we're not going to church enough.
Oh, no.
Wait, but hold
on. We're not going to church enough.
I've never been to church. What does that say about me?
You're going to get in a fight the next Niner game.
Oh, damn it. I don't even like fighting.
Too bad.
I have to.
Well, you should have gone to church.
Because then I could avoid fighting?
Yep.
Damn
then
it.
You belong to something.
I wish you wouldn't have broken America.
Well,
again,
they would
then.
Have knocked your horns off.
That's
Well, yeah. See, I don't want them knocked off. Now that I think about it,
you don't want that because then the money falls out.
That's where I store it all. That's where I store the gold coins.
Yeah, it's a horrible sulfur smell after that.
And it's like Bane. It's like Bane.
That would be very painful for you.
And one last clip. This is the wrap up where.
Do they rap?
Oh, where he talks to Brian Gumbel?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, well, this is always
Brian
the best.
Gumbel, there's no way he's going to rap.
Brian Gumbel definitely fucks through a hole in the sheet because that guy is like the most awkward. Like, that guy definitely wears a blue blazer with gold buttons on it while he's fucking.
Yeah.
No. It's like the Chappelle show. He puts his penis through the pajama pants hole.
Oh, he's got like he's got some sort of monogrammed, like one piece matching pajama set where with a hole in the dick that he fucks out of.
I bet he's got really weird nipples.
Oh, God. Have you ever seen him when he wears a t-shirt on that show? It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
And he's got super gobbly turkey neck.
Yeah, he's got a turkey neck and he's got the weird like man tits that where he's like fat skinny.
Well,
he's mostly skinny, but he's got these weird like floppy titties that sort of point out to the opposite sides. He's got like wall-eyed titties.
It looks like someone that used to be 1,000 pounds, and then and then they just still have all the skin left over from that.
Is he married? Does he have like a family and children and stuff?
Who cares?
Yeah,
he can't though.
I'm still holding out hope that Greg Gumbel and Brian Gumbel make Gumbel to Gumbel someday.
Oh, dirty.
No. If you ever saw it, it was a Family Guy. They were beach patrol. They were beach cops. Gumbel to Gumbel. It was like beach justice or something like that.
If somebody doesn't go, somebody else is.
Here we go.
Bernie, given the increasing lack of civility that we see in all elements of society, any of this surprise you, Michelle?
No, not at all. The culture certainly has gotten coarser, more vulgar over the years. There was a time when a drunk in a bar wouldn't drop the F-bomb, and now it happens.
Fuck you. Well, it's just, it's a horrible clip because there's zero empirical evidence.
Yeah.
It's, let's take three isolated incidents and profile
that
them.
That makes me so angry.
And then talk about culture as broad facts. I've said this on the broadcast before in reference to Penn State, but I'll say it again in this. Spencer Hall, who's brilliant, says it's easy to talk about culture because it completely absolves you from having to talk about any facts. You can just say, people these days aren't as nice as they used to be.
From my 4-bar experiences.
Yeah.
There was a time when I went into a bar and someone never said the F word.
They used to keep... Back in my idealized youth, no one ever did bad things, I could lift a cow over my head with one arm.
My drunken father used to beat the life out of me, but he never once dropped an
F-bomb. The subtext to all of this
is... I had a lab puppy named Skippy, and he jumped over the moon and swallowed a hawk.
The subtext to all of this is that he gave a bunch of money to the PMRC in like 1991, and he's really pissed off that Two Live Crew didn't get banned. And that's like his only reference point.
That's
he
obscure. I like that.
Yeah, he just thinks black people say fuck.
Was the guy in Wasp's name?
Blackie Lawless.
Blackie Lawless, that's it. Yeah.
Back in my time.
Because there was a picture of he had a buzzsaw for a crotch.
Yeah, he had a codpiece with a buzzsaw on
it. Yeah, that's... Oh.
Where can one purchase
in the outside
clutching
culture,
my pearls?
Just a matter of time until it was going to filter into the stadiums and arenas.
Wait, so it's coming from the outside?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we had to keep our pristine stadiums free from the F-bomb. But those darn nerds,
they ruined our sports with their F-bombs.
Yeah. Football is such a clean sport where its players aren't being crippled for life at the age of 40. Yeah. Why can't we just enjoy that without any F-bombs?
Why does there have to be swearing?
You know, it's a mystery.
That was the last temple of civility.
That's right. Yeah. The sports.
The baseball stadium fortress of sport.
That was a time.
The people, the families are staying away because of this?
There's no evidence. I'm
sure. Oh! There's no evidence! Oh! But, oh, sorry, but, Bernie. Keep going with your fucking maudlin sports piece, though. It's brilliant. White males over the age of 60 wrapped around... Like, Mitt Romney is jacking off to this right now. Mitt Romney is jacking off to this.
Well,
great job. But there's no evidence.
Anecdotally, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
Oh, God. Did I tell you guys about the lady that sat down at the coffee shop next to me the other day?
Oh, no. So we're talking politics.
The one that had sniffles?
No, not that one.
She have a speech impediment?
She was like really nice. I could tell she was from, I don't know. She had a, not quite like a southern accent. It sounded like a western southern accent. Like, I don't know, like Oklahoma or somewhere you know, like a
West. Fact checker says it was Iowa. Continue.
I don't really know, but she had an accent.
There's no evidence of where she was from.
Anecdotally, she seemed very civil.
I could tell she was a tourist, and I'm on my computer.
Jerking
like,
off.
Trying to work. And
just fucking watching porn.
Hey, just going to town on myself.
Eye contact. This is how we do in coffee shops in San Francisco.
Welcome to California. Yeah. Don't move.
You better not be a Saints fan, you whore.
Don't move. I'm going to say weird stuff for about 30 to 60
seconds. I said I wish she was dead, and then I told her I was going to fuck her husband and her children,
hold
and
on.
I said,
God.
Go Niners.
Stop. Then I jizzed in her espresso and went home.
Stop moving. You're distracting me. I'm so close. I'm almost finished.
So, you know, I didn't want to be the, I had work to do and it was annoying the crap out of me that she was like trying to talk to everybody and I was like the only one there. So she kind of cornered
me. Hey, everybody.
It's like, hey, what do you do for a living?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. But, you know, I knew she was from out of town and I didn't want to be like everybody from San Francisco is a rude dick on their laptop, even though we totally are. Yep. So I'm like, all right, I'll humor the old broad. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I write about movies. And she's like, oh, have you seen that 2016? I didn't realize what she was talking about. I was like, what's 2016? You know, the 2016 about Obama and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, what do you think about that? I mean, isn't it crazy how he's a socialist and blah, blah, blah? Oh, man. See, that's what you get. You talk to one old lady and then you immediately regret it. And then,
sometimes I drink vodka with
bums. I just wish you were a dick on a laptop.
I hang out and I drink vodka with them and then I think, maybe I shouldn't put my lips on this.
It's a good story.
It just reinforces your dislike of most of the country.
Was it Rob Delaney?
Well, it's like now I don't even know how to talk to people anymore because she wants to talk about this thing that's like, it's like this weird rumors upon rumors of maybe Obama does something because he's trying to impress his dad that he didn't know. And so now he has a anti-colonialist ideology that affects all of his thinking.
Well, it's like the person whose entire
it's
the person whose entire worldview is shaped by the email forward with like 12 animated kitten gifts at the bottom. They could easily be it could easily be debunked if they had any idea what like Snopes.com was.
Yeah. So she asked me what I thought of it, and I'm like, I think that guy is making these wild leaps in logic that have nothing to do. It's like, oh, he's the anti-colonialist socialist because his dad is from Kenya.
I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
Like, if you look at his whole, there's criticisms to be made, but they're not that he's socialist.
What did
the
old lady say back?
What's that?
When you told her this, what did she say?
Well, that's just, I was like, he's making wild leaps in logic and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, that's just like what Michael Moore does, isn't it? And I'm just like, I
sure.
Yeah, I guess.
Can I
mean,
go
but
away?
That's the level of discourse, is that if you disagree with this, then you must eat up everything Michael Moore says, hook, line, and sinker. You know?
Yeah, well, there's like the argument that what Michael Moore does is the same as Dinesh D'Souza, which, I mean, I don't agree with everything he says. He's definitely has a – but it's usually not – it's not like a down-the-line party thing with him at least. I don't know.
But I mean if she's using that as her counter, isn't it just listing stuff that I would be annoyed with? Like Michael Moore is equally annoying to me. It's just like,
yeah,
why are we even – who are you trying to make me argue for?
I know. That's why it instantly made me tired.
Yeah. Who do you want me to be in this imagined conversation? Yeah. Do you teach me a valuable lesson here? Is this how this goes down?
Tell me how to be a straw man.
Yeah. I was eating a nice biscotti and having a good time, and now I have to be some imagined evil for you to conquer.
Yep.
I think it was Rob Delaney who said he could picture Mitt Romney watching Star Wars Episode I, and every time Jar Jar Binks came on the screen, just going, ha, 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 that's delightful. Which I just, that like sums it up.
I could really picture him doing that.
Yeah. A really hearty, smug laugh in his home theater.
Oh, Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
I can really relate to that, George.
Hard to vilify Romney too. He's just sort of a
yeah. That fucking thing with the video where it's like, oh my god, he said that 47% of the country is lazy and doesn't pay taxes, and it's like, well, it's 30-some percent, and he was pandering to a bunch of millionaires. Because that's what we make politicians do now. We make them pander to millionaires. That's what they do. Like, you have to, if when it costs like $100 million to get elected, that's what you do.
No, no, no. It's like $100 million a month.
You fucking go around soliciting money from rich people. And if you're Obama, you know, you pander to the Hollywood people. And if you're Romney, you pander to like some
amount of money is so beach. The amount of money is insane. Yeah.
Oh, shit. He said that thing that everyone there thought.
Oh, my God. A whore is flattering his audience. Yeah.
Stop. Quit flattering the audience.
A whore is betraying his own values to flatter his audience. That's so uncharacteristic of whores.
He used the F-bomb.
Mm.
It's sort of the same thing. It's this fucking false... False belief that the words will wreck your vision of your pristine past, right? Whereas the actions themselves are much more poisonous.
Yeah.
Before we go too deep down the rabbit hole, let's get Mike Eisenberg.
Yes.
From Tall Tale Productions on the Blooped In. Let's talk to him about Tall Tale Productions and you know, maybe movies since.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Is this Mike of Tall Tale Productions?
This is.
What are you doing?
Waiting for you. Call.
We're only 5 minutes late.
Actually, somehow you're 15 minutes early.
Oh, okay.
I just emailed him saying it'd probably be about 10 to 15 minutes. And
we don't do so well with space time.
It's the time zone thing. I think it's like a 12-minute difference here.
Yeah, it's and we actually don't have clocks or anything out in California. We just sort of play it by ear.
So, Mike,
what's going on?
You're a platinum sponsor. Tell us about you. I already know about you.
I didn't know that you guys had met.
Yeah,
you guys. It was a gangbang at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what Comic-Con is.
Just a big old gangbang with people wearing weird outfits.
And sorry, go ahead.
We met at, like on some rooftop party or something.
Yeah, I think it was the. I don't remember what party it was.
Who cares?
You had something in your eye that said
Troy Duffy was there. I remember that.
Oh, did you tell him how much you like his movies?
No.
That's not something I think.
I thought he might punch me. He seemed like one of those guys.
No, Vince has given me more nicknames than I've ever gotten in my whole life.
Oh, wow. Like, such as?
Combined. Whatever that new one was.
Jewish Skyscraper?
Yeah, which I liked. I have to say, that was probably my favorite.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You could have been the second Jewish pitcher in baseball after Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, there's never been any Jews in baseball.
No, Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax. There was the other guy in the Dodgers.
Rod Carew.
They only owned the teams.
He converted.
That's right.
Tall Tale Productions is... just my thing. It's my filmmaking brand, or whatever you want to call it. You know, when I started it off, just like Vince, you have Film Drunk. It's kind of the same way, just with less poop jokes.
Aww.
Although there's room in the future for a script about poop jokes.
We
could develop that.
Yeah, I mean, let's not totally eliminate that. Let's just, you know, we'll table it for later.
We'll back burner it.
Yeah.
When we can get Hugh Jackman on our on our table, then let's talk.
That's a good pull. I like that.
Yeah. Tall Tales is something that I went to film school in Chicago and met some really creative people. And my goal ultimately has been to establish something here in Chicago that's like a really effective production studio that can develop things or just film something or whatever, you know, people need production wise, you know, if it's a wedding, whatever, if it's a whole production of a film, great. And we do our own work and we have our own clients as well. And we all have full-time jobs, whether it's in advertising or producing or whatever we do that makes us hopefully better at that. So, you know, we've done short films and have one coming up in a film festival, which is really cool.
What's that about?
Stitches.
Stitches, all right.
Yeah, and we're producing a documentary right now that's going to be in the works for like the next year or so. It's a long form thing that we just have to kind of get a long span of footage, and you know, just kind of always looking for creative projects. And
what if I was getting married and I wanted it to be like. I wanted it to be like The Master. if I wanted it shot in that, whereas there's just like some weird music in the background.
And some slow-mo?
Yeah, and you just like
you
sort
mean
of...
where I just put a camera on a tripod and walk away for half an hour?
How dare That's, you?
Maybe.
I saw The Master in 70 mil when it came to Chicago. And like the whole first 20 minutes, it's like any comedy where everybody in the audience, the minute the movie starts, you just laugh at everything because you assume it's funny because it's a comedy. And then eventually you start to realize that it's just you don't like it. And I liked The Master. I enjoyed it a lot in whatever way you like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. But
the
I could
genuine
I
way
could, like, feel half of the audience falling asleep.
Oh,
and it was frustrating. I mean, the problem is it was a midnight showing of The Master.
Well, yeah, that's not the right form for that.
No,
I don't want to jump into The Master because that's the one movie I might actually get these guys to see that we can talk about next week.
I want to see it.
Yeah,
I want to see it.
Yeah, you should. Then we can talk
I'm
about
actually
it next week.
Really interested to see how it does on the wide scale because obviously it was going to do well in the art house.
Yeah,
and who knows about it? Everyone's going to go. I'm really curious to see how it does in wide audiences. I don't know what people are going to think, but I won't get into it because yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson is definitely someone that I've.
Oh, Mike needs to be on. Paul Thomas Anderson is definitely someone that I will go see. He doesn't make a lot of them, but when he does, I will go see his movies.
Yeah.
The only one of his that I haven't liked that I didn't like was Magnolia.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right.
It had I liked the Tom Cruise stuff and I loved the frogs, but other than that movie was just like a bunch of I hate movies that are just like sad people being sad, where it's just like sad porn. Like Magnolia and Requiem for a Dream are both just like sad porn.
Boogie Nights, I think I talked about Boogie Nights has been all over HBO. God damn, that movie's so awesome.
Yeah, I love
it's
that
so good. Every night it's on TV and every time I watch it.
Yeah, I get sucked in for a good 45 minutes. And I always love the sort of downfall part where Marky Mark starts railing drugs and then he quits. I'm better than this man. I am this man. I'm ready to go. I say I'm ready. And then he starts the whole music stuff with John
yeah,
C. Reilly.
Music stuff's great.
Oh, yeah.
Those are our tapes.
Then he beats off in the cab of a Chevy S10.
Philip Seymour Hoffman probably at his best in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it's hard to say what his creepiest role was, but I mean, when the guy made the when Josh made the list for Film Drunk, he pitched me the creepiest Philip Seymour Hoffman roles, and my only condition was that Happiness be number one. But now that I think about it, Boogie Nights is definitely up there.
It's pretty creepy.
Well, it's the perfect role for a horny gay guy who's got a rock hard on for the guy standing 10 feet from him and he's holding a 7-foot boom pole.
Yeah. And he's just like, and I love how he's just like apologizing all the time. He's always just like fawning over Marky Mark and then constantly.
I'm such an idiot.
I'm such an idiot. Yeah. Sorry, we got a dog emergency in the background.
My dog could give two shits. He's just laying down next to the microphone, listening to a dog barking and saying, I don't give a shit.
What I could give for that right now. Ben, what did you do? You're a terrible dog whisperer.
He hates Jews.
You've got two Jews on one podcast. That's why he's barking.
Yeah. It's not the first time.
One up.
I'll pretend it is.
Okay. So, all right. Now, you are an ex-athlete like Brendan.
Yeah.
How did you make the transition?
Well, it's funny because Bernsey actually retweeted me like 5-10 minutes ago or whatever. I was for some reason I Googled my name in eBay. I don't know if that makes sense, but I eBayed my name.
In eBay.
Okay. Yeah, verb that noun.
Yeah. And there are two cards. There's always something out there, something stupid. And there's one card selling for 39 cents, but shipping is $3. And there's a 3x5 blank note card that I signed. Somebody's trying to sell on eBay. How down in the dumps do you have to be to sell a former minor league baseball player's signature on a note card on eBay.
Hey, you got relatives.
That's true.
Hey, they'll, Mike, they'll do you mind? You mind signing this birthday card that no one else will sign?
I know. The funny thing is I remember specifically the day I signed that thing.
You remember signing the one note card of your life?
Yeah. Here's 700 baseball cards. Oh, look, can you sign this note card for me too so I can forge your signature and steal your identity?
Brendan, have you ever eBayed yourself?
I don't think I have. I don't think it would probably just hurt my feelings. When I see zero results.
You're telling me that offensive linemen are not the most popular trading card?
Believe it or not.
I don't believe it. I'm gonna
think again.
You never know. There may be like a homemade one made out of cardboard and magazine photos.
It's a crudely drawn crayon image of Brendan.
What is the NFL? They have 53 man rosters.
Yeah.
What's on? How many is on a baseball team roster?
Well, Major League's 35 until September call ups, and then they bring it up somewhere maybe 40-45 or something. But minor leagues, you know, there's seven levels. You know, I pretty much stayed at the snow level of minor league baseball. And
what was the highest level that you got to?
I was creeping into double A as a replacement and then never happened. So high A.
All right. But if you can get up to sort of double A, then it's semi legit, but it's still a huge level from the actual major leagues, right?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is everybody's perspective is messed up because movies are horrible at showing how baseball players progress through professional baseball. Like Nuke LaLoosh in Bull Durham goes from single A in 3 months to the major leagues, which is ridiculous. And then there's other movies like Sugar, which is impossible to describe anyway, but a good movie to watch if you give a shit about minor league baseball. So anyway, yeah, there's seven levels or six sometimes depending on the organization. And you basically, you get drafted or you get picked up and you spend what feels like eternity in single A because there's three single A's. And then,
oh wow.
If you get to double A, you're pretty much in line to get to the majors. Triple A are all people coming down from the majors who got injured or people who are just waiting to make that move to the major leagues, and it's just kind of like a holding pattern.
It's amazing.
I don't know, it's interesting because you go to spring training and you're playing sort of alongside the major leaguers, but the rest of the year you're in podunk towns and you take the bus and like you get peanut butter and jelly spreads. and like three bananas for the whole team. And
but you do get to fuck Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, everybody does. That's great.
How does Tim Robbins feel about that?
It's brutal. It's a brutal lifestyle, though. And you don't get they get paid like $1,000 before taxes for 5 months out of the year. And I don't know what D League is like for basketball or what anything else is like for other sports, but I know it's a tough life. They weed you out real quick.
It just seems like there's like there's way more levels in baseball than there are in other stuff. It seems
yeah.
Like.
I mean, I did NFL Europe, which was the minor league at the time, and that was definitely kind of the same thing where it was the joke was that NFL E was NFL economy. And we got paid jack shit, and part of our stipend or like part of our per diem was two Burger King gift certificates, and you got them in an envelope in your locker.
Good game,
like the
buddy.
Highlight of the season is when a major leaguer gets hurt and comes down and plays through the minor league system on their way back, and they buy everybody Applebee's.
Good to meet you guys. Exactly. Here's a chicken sandwich.
However, I will say I feel thankful that there was sort of a hard cutoff for me where I said, I don't want to do NFL Europe again, and therefore this is over, rather than, hey, maybe I could bounce around the minor leagues. Like the opportunities for me to play were so few that was a big factor in my decision, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to try to play, you know, a single A or independent ball.
Yeah, if there were seven levels of the NFL,
right.
It was arena football.
Yeah, I think at that point Arena was suspended.
XFL.
Yeah, XFL was done at that point.
Oh, XFL was the best.
It was.
I want that back so bad.
They should have MLX. Just the ball has spikes on it.
You know, you got to keep the bat as you run the bases and you start winging people in the knees.
One team that's just Sammy Sosa playing all nine positions.
As much steroids as you want.
Yeah. They really should. If they had a separate baseball league that was all steroids, I would totally watch that over regular baseball.
Yeah, sort of like the what XFL should have been.
The WWE.
You're basically just describing Major League Baseball anyway, so.
Yeah, but they don't pretend. There's not pretending.
The XFL was rad because you could tell that they just went through the rule book line by line and saw any rule that seemed sort of stuffy and went, screw that. So there's a whole part of the rule book about names on the back of the jerseys, and it has to be your last name. So you can tell they were just like, well, we'll have nicknames. And this kickoff thing is bullshit. It's for pussies. Meanwhile, that's like the number one place where people get hurt. Instead, we're just going to chuck a ball on the ground. Two guys have to dive on it. And then the very first game, the guy dislocated his shoulder, reaching for it's basically a loose ball drill. You doing Pop Warner football?
Was it He Hate Me?
No, He Hate Me survived intact. He's Rock actually smart. One of the few guys who went to the NFL from there.
Did he?
But yeah, but in the very first game, I remember it was nationally televised, and the ref just chucks the ball on the ground, and the two guys jump for it, and one guy dislocated his shoulder.
He Hate Me by the way, that's genius.
Yeah. I mean, I remember they're like, so Mr. Hate Me, why do you have that on the back of your jersey? He's like, look at that motherfucker across the field. He hate me.
That's genius. I mean,
kids even know what this is. This was on when we were in college. So
have you ever heard of X-Arm? X-Arm is way dumber than any fake sport you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, is that the arm wrestling?
It's arm wrestling mixed with MMA where they they strap two guys' arms together like arm wrestling.
I wasn't sure if it was a joke or not.
But then you're also allowed to kick people or punch them or you're allowed submissions or you can just pin their arm.
This sounds really stupid.
Sounds like a West Side Story spoof.
it's pretty much the opposite of West Side Stories.
That sounds like the worst sport ever.
I think I would rather watch people finger snap each other.
So, can I pitch a sport?
Yes, please.
I can't wait for Brett to pitch a sport.
All right. Above ground pool, plastic, not redwood, right? You have a ladder going up. There's a single great white shark in there.
Okay.
You get one of those... the small bats that you use for baby seals,
okay.
The little
seal club,
or for deep sea fishing, right? When you bring the halibut up and you whack it on the head, you get one of those. So you jump
a big mouth billy club.
Yeah, big mouth billy club. The water's only about neck deep, right?
Okay,
so you don't have to swim.
Okay,
and the shark can't.
But you're slowed down drastically.
Yeah, the shark can't make a full 180 degree turn, right? Because it's a small pool, so it has to actually run the edge.
And if he does, he has to sit in the penalty box.
No. There's no penalty box.
Okay.
Because it's a pool full of shark.
Okay, I was checking.
There's no way to penalize that.
Well, I don't know if you.
But it can't turn all the way around, and so you basically have to go around in circles for about half an hour until you tire the shark out, just banging it on the head, or the shark eats you. Either way, it's easy to ref.
I like that sport. What do you call it?
Shark pool.
Brent, have you ever thought about being a creator of sport?
Yes.
You could call it pool shark, and then people will think it's something else, but then it's something totally better.
That's stupid and childish.
What's the uniform code on this?
You get swim trunks and maybe a Hawaiian shirt.
Okay. What about a wrestling mask to differentiate the competitors?
No, but the Hawaiian shirt can have your name embroidered on it.
Is it individual sport or team?
It's like a relay where you hand the small bat off, and the next guy jumps in, but they switch sharks too. So
okay.
It's a,
okay.
Yeah.
So like
I'd like
rodeo.
To see the Extreme Elimination Challenge guys basically as the commentators on that every day.
All right, so what could the bat have a nail in it?
No, okay. No, you can't puncture the shark.
Oh.
What? No, you have to tire the shark out with repeated blows to the head.
Okay, okay.
All right, let's get on that. That's going to work.
If will you film that for us, Mike?
Yeah.
Would this be something that Tall Tale Productions would be interested in?
I would say so, yeah.
How's your insurance? What's your coverage like?
We're fully covered, man.
We got that
$2 million coverage, which will get you at least 3 shark bites.
Okay. All right.
Boom. We're in.
Sounds good.
So
that's what it says in the manifest is that you're covered up to 3 shark bites.
But anything more than that, not covered.
Yeah.
All right. So if someone comes to you, because I'm actually curious. I like the whole film industry, especially the smaller stuff. someone comes to you, can you do it start to finish? Do you have equipment? Do you rent it? How does that all work?
Yeah, basically what we did, and a lot of people like.
What's your? Do you have sandbags that you put on the lights to keep them?
I don't want to bring my own sand.
I want to make a music video.
How much sand would you say? Square footage.
How do you get your equipment to the set?
Ben is like the Huelhauser of podcasting.
A truck.
Is your van one of the sliding door ones?
Is that a camera? For the video? That's amazing.
Why do they call it craft services when what you're really serving is food?
Shouldn't it
be
food?
Craft? What are you making, crafts?
How many dozen bungee cords do you own?
So you put the... It's not even a tape anymore? That's amazing.
I get the best reactions that are... I'm not kidding you, identical to that every single time I use... You know the 5D or the DSLR cameras that everybody's using now?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I use one of those, everybody has to say, you could shoot video with that? That's unbelievable. That's so tiny. You can like hold it in your hand.
That's amazing. All right.
That's been a boon for the documentarians because now they can just shoot shit and tell people they're doing still pictures.
That's what I do when I need to get someone's portrait. I just tell them to hold a smile, or just film them for 5 seconds.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm just using my phone
to make a phone call, not to video you.
Don't mind me. I'm looking at pornography.
If you take your clothes off, I will not be videotaping it because I'm making a phone call.
I actually heard a really interesting story just the other day about casting calls for like hair soap commercials.
As opposed to...
I don't know why I said hair soap. I meant shampoo.
Ooh, shampoo. Look at Mr. Fancy Frenchman over here. What do you call it? Hair soap?
What's this hair soap you got over here?
I bought some hair soap and I left it out in the car hole.
You can't fuck up even once, even as our sponsor.
About he's in advertising. He's talking about some shampoo commercial and how it just sounded like the biggest scam ever. Basically, every audition, they come in, they take their tops off, and they just film them completely, you know, just chest out and everything on camera because it's quote-unquote better to not have anything to take out digitally. So no, you know, skin color, green color bra or whatever. You'll know shit, but... It's like it seems like an amazing excuse just to see a lot of tits.
Could you Could you do that for us?
So here's send us some B-roll from that. So just in case we get any pants in this shot, you're gonna have to go bottomless too. And no underwear for this hair soap commercial. We'll film on a high class commercial for this hair soap.
Okay, you're also so gonna stick a dildo up your butt.
I'm gonna have my assistant Maria shave you, and then we're gonna light you up, and then we're gonna roll.
Can you imagine being the guy who has to ask every woman to take their top off? Like, it does take a lot of balls to ask a woman to do that you don't know. I mean, I don't care how cool it sounds. That sounds like something that's really awkward and hard to do. Even though these girls probably know before they get there that they're going to have to do this.
That's how Joe Francis started. I heard.
I believe that.
All right, so take your top off. This is just a hair soap. This is a real hair soap commercial.
Okay, I'm gonna have to rub this ointment on your breast just so that it's non-reflective.
It's a non-reflective ointment.
Yeah, it fools the CCD system.
All right, so now we're gonna go ahead and ask you to lean back and use this dildo on yourself. It's to make sure there's no green screen.
You got to get the audio and the video synced. That's what the dildo's for.
You got to sync the audio and the video.
No, just relax. Just relax. Every girl's going to do this.
All right, Mike. I got to get to Laramie because he's got a list that he wants to read us. But
well, tell everyone where to find Tall Tale. We can have you on again before, and hopefully you're in the Chicago area, so hopefully you can make it out. But you said you might have some sort of documentary shoot or something to work on that weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a way to be in Chicago. But we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out. But I'll let you guys know. And if not, I'll have somebody here who I trust can make me look like an idiot.
Nice.
I only know people that make me look like an idiot.
That's how I choose my friends.
Yeah.
Well, then, Micah, at a minimum, tell everyone where to find you, wherever you want them to find you.
Yeah, I do the Twitter thing at Eisentower30, and I'm on Facebook. But you could, if you want to learn more about Tall Tale, go to talltaleproductions.com. And we've got cool material on there, all different kinds of stuff. And you know, I doubt I'll be getting any San Diegoites asking me to film their next project, but we do know how to sit on an airplane with our equipment and do that. So, you know, like, I guess that's the pitch. If you like our stuff and you want to see more of it, ask us to do something for you, and we'll hop out there and do it.
You can even travel.
Yeah, we have the capability.
I have a question. Were there 29 other Eisentowers on Twitter?
No, 30 was just my number.
Okay.
Damn it. 28's taken. Damn it. 29's taken. What 1 through 29, finally 30, is available.
All right. Well, we will pimp Tall Tale as hard as we possibly can.
Cool. Yeah, well, anytime you want me on, I'm happy to join.
Definitely.
Well, thanks for sponsoring.
Although I want to add one thing is that although I'm really excited about the platinum thing, my girlfriend is pissed off because I couldn't get her a squirrel drawing. So if we can work out some way to get an extra squirrel drawing made.
I think that could be in the cards.
It's okay. Going to cost you.
So she wants a drawing.
Oh, sure. You know, I draw squirrels more for the love of the squirrel. I never really did it for monetary reward.
Can I just say that I am terrified by the overwhelming positive response to me painting squirrels?
You're the world's preeminent squirrel.
They didn't even realize that you're actually a really good artist either.
It's
like
terrifying.
You just pump out like a weird character, like a county fair caricature of a squirrel. People
just
probably
accidentally draw a really nice squirrel.
Well, Brett's a really good artist, and I don't know if people realize that or they just thought we were joking about him always painting squirrels all day.
I haven't painted in years, though.
I dedicated my whole life to this. I could have done it. I could have been a doctor. Could have been a lawyer. My mom ran a buckwheat store where we made buckwheat pillows, and I made a real good living on that. But you know, I dedicated my life to squirrel drawing, and that's what I do.
That's amazing. And you know, you always say it: you find something you love, you don't work a day in your life.
You don't work a day in your life, sure.
Wait, so Mike, the girlfriend was upset that you spent the money on the sponsorship and not on a squirrel drawing?
Yeah, I tried to explain. Somebody beat me to it.
Yeah, there's only two available. It's a very limited edition.
It is an extremely exclusive piece of art that belongs in a museum.
It belongs in every museum. Well, Mike, thanks for sponsoring us. Thanks for coming on. Hopefully you can make it to Chicago so we can see you in person and you and Vince can relive your Comic-Con.
Live the glories.
Yeah. the glory holes.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Well, good luck with everything. Tall Tale Productions. If you need a video for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get Laramie Legals on.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Are you guys in Chicago right now?
We are. Are you here?
Is this live?
Yeah.
We made it, guys.
We did it. Congratulations.
We did it.
Now, you have 1,000 lists to read, so we should probably get started.
We did it. We did it.
Thanks mostly to you, so thank you.
How come Brett hasn't said anything yet?
He's really nervous.
He's fucking not nervous.
I thought that maybe it's going to be scary in front of a bunch of people instead of three people and a dog.
There's the butterflies when I hear his voice.
Brett's a little nervous to paint paintings again.
I know how to paint a fucking – come on. Ben, I know how to paint a fucking painting, all right? I'm not a child. I'm not a child who didn't go to art school and get into serious student debt to not learn anything that's applicable at all in the real world, all right? What I'm scared of is going in front of a bunch of people who paid money to see me and then just sort of trailing off and then not knowing how to finish the story.
Well, then you know who you should talk to is Laramie because he regularly attends morning news shows.
You're going to need a list of things to go over.
Is that the secret to your success?
Just start naming things. You'll be fine.
Just go, Brett. Try it out.
three of my top four things in this room are currently a bottle of water.
Yay!
Yay! I only have two! I only have two!
That's when the flop sweat starts.
I'm just going to pee my pants each night, and I think that'll get a laugh.
Well, I don't think anyone signed up for the Sunday show, so that should just be the four of us, five of us, eight of us. How many?
I don't know.
There's 12.
12 of us in the show.
I'm going to rent a couple babies.
I'm actually three people.
It's going to be the Fratcast and the new Power Generation.
I think only one ticket sold for that Sunday event. That's going to be...
We actually bumped you for Lindy. I hate to say it.
That's fair. That's tough, but fair.
She puts the work in. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Someone emailed us about her.
We can't even discuss her.
Oh, that she doesn't exist anymore?
She doesn't fucking exist.
Oh, interesting.
No, we'll get her back on eventually. We'll convince those Gawker bastards.
Yeah, right. I'm very excited for her next job. Let's just say that. Very excited for whatever she does next in her career.
Why can't we just say it's me and have her come on? Like, I have no pride, and she's funny, so what's the difference?
So, Laramie, you have a list for us this week?
I have a couple of lists. You can pick one.
A couple of lists? Holy shit.
You can't go through both again this time.
Oh, all right. That's going to be tough.
Laramie, how do you feel about selling lists for real money?
I feel great about it, but I think we should read them on the PCast.
Yeah,
broadcast.
That could be arranged.
Wasn't that the whole deal? One, somebody got a live read. Well, live in
the flesh in Chicago.
Yeah, that's the expensive one, but the other ones get a PCast read, right?
We can do that. Yeah, I'd feel
good about that. I mean, for $50, it's the least I could do.
Were you just going to hand them the list?
I was actually just going to hand them, period.
That's legitimately a good
deal. One. Number two.
You get 10 strokes. Enjoy them.
I was jerking off during that.
We don't have money for a fluffer. You know that.
Damn it. What kind of low production shit is this?
Sorry.
Are we going to get the stage seconds, the people that fill in for you if you're too drunk?
Yeah, like some guy in a black shirt that just says Brett.
Understudies. Yeah. Are we going to get understudies?
He's a guy in a black t-shirt that says Brett on the front.
There's
going to
be a guy, like they'd know the difference. Yeah. Hey, he's not wearing a motorcycle helmet. The guy's a fucking fraud.
How do Brett and Brendan actually feel about showing their face?
I was gonna make a very fancy mask a la Deadmau5.
Really?
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
I mean, I'll do it. You know, honestly, if anyone really wanted to find me, they could find me. It's not that hard.
It takes three clicks.
It's pretty impossible to be anonymous on the internet. So most of my unwillingness to be public is kind of twofold. It's one, plausible deniability, and two, I enjoy being able to have a Twitter that doesn't have people replying to things and critiquing jokes and shit like that because it's just my own
personal
thing.
Welcome to my world, man.
Right, but that's your livelihood, you know? I have my own job where I punch a clock, you know? I don't literally punch a clock.
So mine's
I figuratively
a little...
punch a clock. But
I fucking punch a clock every morning.
You know, I don't want to have to be tied to making jokes where if I post something, a video that I just think is cool, not have people respond to be like, it's gay, you fag. You know what I mean? I sort of like having my own kind of private life.
Mine's
you
the opposite.
You want to put Tori Amos links out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this speaks to me, man.
I don't feel like you should even be on Twitter if you're not out to entertain. Because I don't give a fuck about your links, man. Even as one of your good friends.
Uh-huh.
So
thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitter,
could you be funnier?
I've been following.
Just be like a lot funnier when you tweet, just like 100 times.
Okay, I'll try.
Maybe 200-300 times more funny.
I've been following Diddy on Twitter because it's just endless, like unintentional comedy. And tonight was one of my favorite ever. I am Diddy. Shout out to my man at God's Messenger and his jewelry line. I feel blessed. And then there's a link.
That's where I buy all my jewelry.
God's Messenger has a jewelry line.
I think that was...
Well, you know,
isn't that Old Testament where God takes the form of jewelry?
I think so. A lot of people say Jesus died on the cross. But then some other people say he was reborn as this brooch made of sapphires and pearls.
I just like, you know, jewelry was, you know, created by the Jews, of course.
Whoa.
It's got Jew,
harsh
Jew in it.
No, they just
took... I also noticed in the comments how happy were that people that were that Mr. Kaplan's so ripped.
Yeah, I was hanging out with him this weekend, and just like, how much did you love that people commented on your rippedness? He's like, hey, man, facts are facts, bro.
I didn't get this rock hard body for nothing.
Yeah. Can't stop science or these biceps.
When a train's coming downhill, you just get out of the way.
Yeah. Brett's like, you just loved it because like everyone's commenting. I was like, you know, you hear it from time to time.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, you get that.
Classic.
You know how it do.
Why couldn't one of the rewards be like Ben does 50 push-ups or something like that? That was right there for the taking.
We can add rewards.
That's we could add that in.
Flex goals. Flex goals. Flex goals.
We can always add rewards. We got time.
See how much Ben benches.
How much can you bench, Ben?
Ooh, right now I feel weak. I don't know. I think I would hope I'd get like 250 or so. Yeah. Yeah, but
well, my penis
you got those pretty boy muscles.
They're fake
muscles.
They're fake. They're fake. They're Botox.
Ben did play rugby for a while, and I remember
20 minutes.
I remember the last play that you played.
I remember it too. It was a good one. Yeah. So do I. So I played rugby for about 20 minutes. I wasn't playing any other sports. There's a pretty friendly open rugby club here in San Francisco. And so I went. Vince was on it. A couple other friends. Brendan was on it as well.
I was on it.
And so they had practices. It was real. It was the real deal. So I went out, played just a wing for anyone that knows rugby, where I just touch the ball every once in a while and try to run fast. And then on the opposite side on defense, you'd kick the ball in rugby. And then I'd run down and tackle the guy. And the way it works in the Bay Area, there's our team, which is a bunch of white idiots. And then every other team was some sort of islander, a lot of Samoans and Tongan guys. And they were a lot bigger than us, or at least bigger than me.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, and I went down to tackle this dude, and he just elbowed the shit right out of my face.
It really is like a colonial parable in Bay Area rugby, because you got like a team of big, scary islanders that will smash your face in, and then you got another like white guys that aren't necessarily very athletic, but very organized.
You guys were trying to sign land deals with them, and they were
pretty much.
Also, our uniforms were all white. we were all white with red socks, and then everyone else was just chucking the ball all over the place. We played like the most disciplined, conservative style of rugby. So yeah.
Oh, so anyway, finish your story.
So I went down, I tackled the dude, and he elbowed the shit out of my face. I was wearing a mouth guard. He knocked my tooth out. And everyone's like, yeah, you tackled him. I'm like, fucking he knocked my goddamn tooth out. That sucks. And I played for another 10 minutes in that game. And I was like, yep, I retired. That was fun. Take care, everybody.
Gandhi
it's been real.
Said something about this.
This is not a sport for the Jews. That I wear a mouth guard and he knocks my tooth out. I think I'm good.
Because as a goyim, you get your tooth knocked out. And it's kind of like it's a point of pride for like a week.
I can speak to that. You get your teeth knocked out, you feel pretty good because then you make out with skanks and you're like, I didn't have any teeth.
One tooth per tackle feels steep to me, though.
Yeah,
it was a high price to pay.
Yeah, you hope the rate doesn't stay the same throughout your career.
You're not going to make a lot of tackles, or you're going to need a lot of teeth, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Did that dude cut his thumb off because it was... The rugby player won. I thought it was one of the All Blacks.
I don't know. Brendan?
What?
Some dude had a thumb or finger amputated because Ronnie he was Lott paralyzed, and they were going to prevent him from playing.
Ronnie Lott had got the end of his like ring finger or pinky cut off.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fact. I've never heard that about one of the All Blacks. Yeah.
Laramie, what are our list choices for tonight?
You can do movie projects you could see Clint Eastwood attached to.
Okay.
Or even more jobs I could do. Or things I could do lists about. That one is the most conceptual.
I kind of like number one. But,
you know where I lie on this one.
What's that?
I like it when it gets abstract.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
All right. So Brett wants three. Vince wants one. I want two. Brendan, you're the deciding factor.
What were the choices again?
So uninterested. Wow.
Don't worry. He was simultaneously tweeting while sending a text.
He's also touching his crotch. So yeah. You've got that much happening.
I can't compete with that.
So you got movies that Clint Eastwood could be in.
I want that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right,
good
so choice. That's Vince and Brendan win. All right.
Oh, here we go. You ready? Number one, Lana Victor. And the tagline is, he's here to get you off.
Wait, so are these the name of the movies? Or the name of the movies, Lana Victor?
Yes. And the tagline is, he's here to get you off. They don't all have taglines, but where necessary, they do. Number two, an old man versus progress. That could be an Oscar winner.
Yeah. Well, it could just be a picture of him and the empty chair.
Is he a lovable old man, it turns out, in the end?
No, I think in the end he's usually just pretty mean and surly and angry all the time. Number three is Glee the movie, which sounds like, oh, that's a change of direction for him. But then, Noogieing the Queers. Which, nah, that'll throw people. Because you got your Glee target audience, and then you're like, well, what's that last part about?
I would like to see those queers get noogied.
Number four is a tribute to Fiona Apple, in a way. It's called A Stool Killed My Boxing Prodigy, and Now I'm Pretty Angry at Furniture Just in General. It's kind of long.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I get it. You know, like the pawn. Right. When the pawn hits the... What the hell was it? When the pawn hits the Shmon Gamba John, they go to Papa John's.
That's the most anyone knows.
Fuck
of
you,
that.
What?
There's a
Fiona, her last album title was, 487 words long.
This will pull it up. Continue, Laramie.
Really abstract.
It's art. Number five is Robot Computers Ain't Got No Soul.
I like that it's ain't.
Yeah, well, again, you want to hit all the focus groups. This one I like. It's guttural throat noises / implied threat.
Nice. That's a good one.
I'll see that.
What? Say that again?
Sounds scary.
Guttural throat noises / implied threat.
Ooh, I like it.
You're going to
sing the soundtrack.
So you're going to remake Gran Torino?
Yeah.
That movie was so good.
It was. I liked it.
The next one is legitimately my favorite one of the group. It's called Wait, We Like the Japs Now, and it's a rom-com. It's a summer rom-com.
Does he fall in love with a Japanese woman?
Yeah, and he's confused because it's like World War II, still on his mind.
Oh, no, maybe his son is dating a Japanese girl, and he knows Clint doesn't approve, so he has to pretend that she's his housekeeper. And then there's like a sort of awkward, before the movie's over, it becomes awkward.
What if
he has a platonic best friend?
What if he finds out he's full Japanese?
It's out of the box, but I see Rob Schneider as the Japanese love interest. And I do see the title read being like, wait, we like the Japs now? This summer.
Rob Schneider is Filipino. That's racist.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Next one, I think, takes advantage of the Step Up to the Streets vibe a little bit. It's called Tall Pants, Big Dreams, and there's Z's on the end of both of those.
Okay.
And that's where he teaches an urban youth to vote Republican. Tall Pants, Big Dreams.
It's a heartwarming film about disenfranchisement.
Exactly, yeah. About voting against your own self-interest. The last two are just plays on Trouble with the Curve. And that one is Trouble with the Perv. That's a Sandusky story.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is Trouble with the Schwerve, which is a Viagra tale.
Oh, I picture lots of blues rock in the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Could go either way with that. So that was a movie project you could see.
Wow.
There's so much music that's considered that has to be considered Viagra rock now. It's just like, bam, bam, bam. Like,
the music on the Viagra ads, it's like it's the most erectile dysfunction music ever.
Right. Hear that. You hear that twangy blues and you're like, man.
Get a boner.
Yeah,
the commercials don't make you guys hard? Isn't that their whole purpose?
Yeah.
When you're ready to lay the pipe on your woman.
See, I'm hard. There's the tubs growing out of the ocean or whatever.
Yeah.
There's flowers sprouting out of people's faces.
When your old lady's floppy titties ain't putting lead in your pencil no more.
They like bump into each other while he's working on his car in the garage.
He's restoring a Mustang.
Yeah, he's like, stop it at gas station.
Hey,
just being old.
You want to help me buff this?
So he drives like a 67 Mustang in Trouble with the Curve, right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The fancy computer cars.
That movie looks fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah. All right, hold on. Before Larry
got smaller,
a little bit of clarification. That Fiona Apple album is When the Pawn Hits the Conflicts, He Thinks Like a King. What he knows throws the blows when he goes to the fight. And he'll win the whole thing before he enters the ring. There's nobody to batter when your mind is your might. When you go solo, you hold your... Anyway, that's a really long poem.
I give it a seven.
That's the title of her album.
Not pretentious.
No, not at all. Not at all.
How far into it did you
genres,
get right there?
Genres, according to Wikipedia, are alternative rock, baroque pop, and jazz fusion.
What about pretentious pop?
Baroque pop, do you have to incorporate a harpsichord?
Well, it's came right after Rococo Pop.
Oh. Okay. Less moving away from the use of the sfumata.
Yeah. It was less chiaroscuro.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad I took that art history class.
Yeah, me too.
How did you retain any of that?
That's all I retained.
That's all I remember.
That's it.
And then there's like the wheat threshers or something by like whatever that French chick's name was.
I remember Baroque using the harpsichord for my music appreciation 101 class.
Yeah.
Well, like the Mersey Devils?
Yeah.
It's all neorealism to me.
Laramie, tell us about Trouble with the Curve. Apparently, it's not good. Shocker.
You saw it?
I did.
So hold on, Laramie. Is there a movie that you don't see?
Man, this is what I did not want to see. But my in-laws are in town, and they wanted to see what a screen was all about. And so I took them to the show. You know, I took him to the
Hey,
the
Laramie,
place.
Take us to a morning news show, and then after that, take us straight to a movie. Well, a screening's like a regular movie, except with more obnoxious dickheads.
And what's weird is you're acting like they didn't come see me on the morning news show, but they did, and that's a fact.
Did you do another shooting? Another?
This phone's going to be like a precious jewel.
What's going on there?
Sorry.
The last note I have on Trouble with the Curve, underline, nightmare. So... The very first joke in Trouble with the Curve is he's having trouble peeing. And I'm not making that up. That's what they opened with. An old man can't pee so good.
Is he at least peeing onto the credits and they're sort of like dripping away?
Oh, I love it when they do that.
Yeah, they incorporate the names.
Yeah, because I care so much about the names and I really want them to cast shadows.
He's peeing on like the casting director and it's dripping away.
He yells at his penis and then his punchline to get out of the scene is, I don't know what you're laughing at, I outlived you. And we're not sure if he's talking about the pee or his penis or what's going on.
Wait, so his dead wife's still on the toilet.
Wait, his dick's dead? Is that what he's saying?
No, I think Brett's right. His dead wife is she's in the bathtub, yeah, deteriorating.
He's peeing on his dead wife. The ghost. He's peeing on the ghost, like right through her.
Whatever,
She loves that because she's a slut.
Outlived you. She always liked golden showers.
Just like a gook to die in the bathtub.
There are two scenes that involve him singing You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, my God.
While he's peeing?
Fuck, I can imagine that and it hurts.
Or is that while he's pooping?
And not just the first part. A couple of verses.
Oh.
Yikes.
All right, how would you rate it on the embarrassment scale from Al Pacino dressing in drag in an Adam Sandler movie to Robert De Niro getting stabbed in the boner?
I would call it Robert De Niro in New Year's Eve.
Okay. All right.
That's what I would call it.
Wait, was he really in that? Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Everybody, they gave him a giant check, like The Price is Right.
He needs that. He's got small eyes.
So
now.
What did the in-laws think of the screening? Were they impressed?
They loved the movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very charming.
Oh, did that make it even worse for you?
I had to harangue them. I said, that's not good enough. That was not good enough. And I went over the 30 things that were wrong with it. And they got really, everyone got really quiet.
What else? All right. So
you gave them a 30-point list?
Yeah. I'm like, you guys can't support that. Go home and tell people that's terrible. He runs into a table. That's joke two. And then he eats Spam. That's joke three.
And that's the open.
He thinks yoga is voodoo. That's joke four.
Oh, my God.
Did he write it? Who wrote this?
Does he say hippity hop?
So... quotes that come from him. Good scouts are the heart of this business.
So is he basically the scout in Moneyball? Okay. Did they make a whole movie about this?
Yes. So he comes into the office, and Matt Lillard is behind his fancy computer.
Matt Lillard.
Right? And he's like, I know who we're taking with our first round pick. This guy's killing it. And Clint Eastwood goes, how do you know that? And he goes, because I look at his stats, and I look at the projections, and he's going to be a star. And he goes, your computer can't tell you anything about real life, kid. You gotta go out and see him with your limited data set in your eyes.
You gotta hug the facts into them. That's how science has always worked in my idealized past.
I wish they did say stuff like that.
No one ever fought, and I was a hero to my children.
Now, answer me if you think this is how the plot goes. Do you think the computers are right in the end?
Well, I want them to be right, but they're not.
No, or do you think not. Clint Eastwood...
Wait, does the human spirit triumph?
Who's going blind. Here, I'll give you a true false. At any point in this movie, does he say interweb derisively?
Oh, Jesus.
If you said true, you're correct.
Is there any point where he says, we have a blog?
He says, you think?
Does he derisively refer to any of the characters as, quote, internet girl?
So here's the best part, though. The absolute, just because that's not bad enough. Amy Adams is his daughter, and she grew up around the game, you know, and is pretty much a crackerjack scout herself.
Well, amazing. Never would have expected that.
But went into law just to make your dad happy. Gets out on the road with him. You know what? Finds out she's not happy being a lawyer. She loves the game.
No way.
No, that's that's God's honest truth. So anyways, Matt Lillard's back at the office using his fancy computer. Eastwood's out there seeing stuff with his eyes, even though his eyes are going bad, right? John Goodman sends out the daughter.
When you're a scout, you don't see with your eyes. You see with your guts.
And your dick.
I was going to say that.
So this fancy pants guy, they're going to draft second. He's a real scumbag. Like, he's a total jerk. He doesn't, like, high-five his teammates.
Oh,
he,
like, death sentence.
Is he black?
He's a fat white kid. Oh. He steals peanuts from the peanut vendor. He's just
– He rapes guys.
I guess, like, he's hitting a home run every time, but you get a bad feeling about him.
I guess
it
would have been too easy to make him black, wouldn't it?
It would have been a lot.
I mean, that's really what's okay. Let's cut to the heart of the matter. This is a story made for old white sports writers. Like, Peter King will jack off to this movie.
Yeah, but they know it'd be beyond the pale for them. Even
right.
Beyond the pale.
I'll give you one more hypothetical. At any point, does a Latino made son who doesn't play baseball get scouted by Amy Adams?
True.
Yeah, God's honest
that
truth.
That was difficult.
Does he face off against the number one prospect who the computers liked at any point?
Oh.
True.
Okay. I choose the Matrix.
It's so amazingly.
And I'm going to go ahead and say, does he go ahead and get a hit off of the number one prospect? True.
Well, so he's a pitcher.
You know what's crazy is just like in Gran Torino, Clint Eastwood actually sang on the soundtrack to this.
You are my sunshine.
Yeah, no, I have a clip of it. Of Clint Eastwood.
Let's play it. Great.
I want to hear it.
I have Clint Eastwood singing the soundtrack to Trouble with the Curve.
Nice. I want to hear it.
Goes a little something like this. He's gotten hipper. He's gotten a lot of hipper since Gran Torino.
He used to be a No Limit soldier.
He has a haunting voice.
He does.
I would say not only he's gotten hipper, but he's gotten hopper.
Let's just say he's come a long way since Paint Your Wagon. That was a musical that he did with Sandra Locke a long time ago. Jesus. Obscure references.
Mm.
Yeah. There's at least 12 Frot castees out there who are laughing at that joke.
Mm.
I wish I was one of them.
I know.
What
so anyway, the fancy computers sign this pick that the guy, Clint Eastwood, tells him his hands drift on the curve. He can't hit the curve.
Ooh.
How can – okay.
He has trouble.
Clint Eastwood's eyes are going, right? How does he tell he can't hit the curve? His eyes are going.
He hears it hit the mitt.
Yes, he hears it off the bat. It doesn't sound right. It's not a pure sound. He walks into the room, you know, millions of dollars at stake. He's like, you signed this kid. Grr. So they signed the idiot. Meanwhile, Amy Adams is out recruiting the groundskeeper dude. Like, you can really throw. You're the natural. They bring him out. Freaking.
Come on, Pepe. I saw you throw that hot dog to your
friend. They just
get
a random Dominican kid. And
yep. So they get up there. Number one pick, statistician's dream versus unheralded, undrafted kid who Amy Adams found because she heard.
Who you could probably still get in the 59th round anyway. But
and what's this kid do? He throws so much heat by this stat kid, and the stat kid throws his bat down. He's like, that's ridiculous! And then they're like, they turn to Matt Lillard, and they're like, you got a lot of explaining to do. They got me fucked right now on that bullshit. Same nigga hump the beat like a pussy. Fucking right, I put the dick on the track. Same nigga, you got out of jail. Same nigga, that got the dick. So what the rapper got 90 more days. Shouldn't have never hit that bitch in the head. I know she pushing. Should never hit that bitch in the head. All right, last scene that I'll break down for you. They want to sign the kid. right?
Pepe.
The kid doesn't have an agent.
Pepe.
Hmm.
But guess what?
Who's going to be his agent?
There's a lawyer in the room, isn't
oh,
there?
Oh, shit!
That's bullshit.
I didn't see that coming.
And Amy Adams is going to drive a pretty hard bargain.
Oh, yeah. She's a wow. fire.
She's a saucy mix.
Saucy fire crotch.
Since lawyers know how to negotiate. That took a pretty unexpected turn.
A dark turn.
You didn't see that coming. Yeah. Then Clint Eastwood gets hit by a car.
Does he really?
No, he just wrecks into a lot of stuff.
Lindsay Lohan? Was it Lohan? Did she do it?
Where is it guaranteed you're allowed to be a major league scout until like 90? Like, where is that written?
I don't know.
Bible. It's written in the Bible.
What rule is that?
It is in the Bible.
You might not remember it because things have gotten a lot less civil, but...
With the computers and the blogs?
God, the computers make everyone fight.
Laramie, but you saw Dread 3D, right?
I did.
Am I crazy for thinking that was pretty badass?
No, that was a real movie.
Hey,
that
is there cool. is there spoilers in Dread 3D or is it just bodies exploding? Because I'd still like to see it,
there's
but
no,
don't have anyone to go with.
Real no, there's no real spoilers.
You guys want to see
I'll
Dread
go with
3D?
You.
You want to go see Dread 3D with me?
All I just right. don't know when because then now there's football on.
I think it's pretty close to... It was pretty close to like a Paul Verhoeven-Arnold movie.
Yeah, I went in at 10 a.m. in Toronto, like completely ready to just be sad.
Yeah.
And I come out and I'm like, fuck me, that's a real movie.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah,
it's like a
that.
Plot and dialogue and...
Well, I don't know about a plot, but you know.
But it was a decent action film.
It was a B movie that they didn't fuck up.
Exactly. It's better than the original because the original's not good.
I never saw it.
Oh, man.
He talks to his gun. The gun talks back. There's a robot that pulls people's arms off. Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Grenades!
It was basically like every time I see one of those movies like Lockout or Taken where everybody's like, oh, it's dumb, but it's pretty good. That usually means it's dumb, but I'm a fucking moron and I like stupid shit. And so this,
you have to say it like that. When
yeah,
you,
pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah. I don't like that voice.
Like, did you guys like Taken? Everybody seems to like Taken.
I've never seen it.
I thought it was bad.
I mean, I hated it and people loved it.
Yeah. Everybody and loved it. I was like, there's one good scene where Liam Neeson shot a chick in the arm, and then other than that, it was just like, this is a Law and Order episode.
Yeah, it seemed like a homemade movie. I think we talked about this.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Taken 2 looks like Taken 1, though.
Yeah.
No, I would like
twice
to do
as many people Taken. That's what the 2's from.
Well, shouldn't he stop going to Europe with his family?
They should have just done it as Takens with the S as a 2.
But why are you not in the marketing business?
How about just,
I don't, because I'm in the sports business. I've already got the shark pool thing.
How about just the 2 for the T, like 2 Aiken?
I wish you were dead.
Twaken.
Tooken.
Tweaking.
I will say I'd like for them to do the real version of that movie where they call him up. They're like, we've taken your daughter. They hang up and he just hangs up the phone and quietly sobs. Just knows he can't do anything.
For 90 minutes.
Turns on the TV.
Months later, he's jacking off to internet porn. He sees her face.
His sweatpants around his ankle.
Smash cut.
Yeah.
8 months later.
It's a 3-minute movie. It's a 3-minute movie.
It's very, very sad. You will probably kill yourself afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love it. It was enjoyable. I like that he's just the most ridiculous, silly character that I have one skill, and I will find you no matter where you are in the universe.
Well, that's a lot of skills put together.
It's three. It's three skills.
Three skills. I'll find you.
Sense of smell.
Or like, did you see Lockout at all?
Which was that the
space one?
Yes. That's Guy Pearce in space. And it had the potential to be really awesome.
In space.
But then it was like the plot, they kept
Guy
having
Pierce.
These. They kept
in
having
space.
These like wild plot twists. Like the director thought he was making Memento or something. And it's like, B movies, we do not come for the plot twists. I hate to tell you. We come for the killing people.
Have you guys watched
and the
like NCIS and shit?
No.
Have you ever seen
no.
any of the secondary
no way.
Like criminal intent
no.
stuff?
Stop.
Some of them are getting fucking.
They're getting
graphic.
They're getting.
They're really graphic. It's
really
disturbing.
Like Saw level.
Like you can't talk about a nipple on a comedy show, but on NCIS they'll be like, "Yeah, so the semen was."
Are they showing penetration?
Your head
now?
Cavity was they're, actually full of semen.
Like criminal intent's all about serial killers
showing,
or some
showing,
shit.
They show penetration.
I don't know. They're just like girls getting chainsawed and shit.
It appears the criminal appears.
Like, oh, here's a torture video of your daughter getting her guts cut out. We're gonna find the guy, and then like the next half hour is like a jolly ramp through Dragnet, and it's like, wait a minute, but their guts are all over.
It appears her skull cavity was full of semen, and then the perp dipped his balls in it.
Yeah,
her head cavity was full. That's what you're doing now, full of semen, Vince Mancini. Shame.
Have
you
seen those shows? That's what they're like.
Swear to God.
He's changed his name. It's Vince Mancini.
Do they have like the black light over her like skull with just the green splooge everywhere?
No, it's a CG rotation of the skull and how the dick could have possibly entered.
there's a huge cavity where her eye used to be, and there's just a big boner.
We got this new machine where I make a 3D model and I move it around with my hands in a hologram.
Next up on CBS, America's most watched network.
Someone got a boner to the neck.
Holy shit. Watching the only time I ever watch commercials is when I'm watching sports. So basically I see all my commercials for the year during football season. And holy shit, the promos for network shows,
I love their cold
reads, are mind-blowing. It's like, well, this is like The Great Gatsby with midgets.
He's a criminal investigator and she's Tom Selleck. Yeah. That's the next show after Monday Night Football.
It's like the concept is so paper thin. It's like they have one idea and then someone's like, and how about a twist? Yes, go with it.
But yeah, I do love their live reads where they know nothing about the show.
Like, and then like the color commentator's gotta be like, that sounds kinda interesting.
Yeah. That's what I love.
Phil Sims is like, hey, I think I want to watch that show.
But unlike real sports, I don't lament the fact that this is a new phenomenon because it's always been that way. I'm more upset that no one's gotten the wiser. Like they've been doing this since television started. No one's ever put any fucking effort into this
Winston
shit.
Winston cigarettes.
How are they? Yeah. How are they?
Gives
still,
you the nutrients you need for a hard day.
I want to shake the TV and just scream, how are you still getting away with this?
Because people still
watch
them.
Has anyone seen the promo for Last Resort? Because that's my favorite thing.
Which one's that?
Okay. It's brilliant. It's a U.S. nuclear sub goes rogue, doesn't shoot a nuclear missile that it's ordered to shoot. Then all the nuclear subs come after that. So they hole up in Hawaii at a resort with the threat of nuclear war hanging over because they'll press the button if you come after them. Meanwhile, people are throwing down drinks, meeting other people.
Wearing
so
bikinis?
It's last resort. It's two. You see, obviously. It's a double entendre.
Wait, so does the world end?
So there's they're at the last resort, but it's also their last resort.
But the rest of the world's still there.
Or is it?
Or is everyone else dead? Because that's kind of awesome if everyone's dead.
No. It looks so good. It's not even enough material for a trailer. It's so good.
I like the revolution, all the revolution promos, because it's like, all right, so here's what happens. The lights go out all over the world. And you know what happens then? Crossbows.
We don't either.
The lights go out and boom, everyone's got crossbows.
Oh, and horses.
Don't question it, man.
Let's ride a horse. You and me, we're going to ride a horse.
What would you do if the lights went out? Obviously, you'd probably buy a crossbow.
Crossbow.
Fucking Big Five was like, dude, where all our crossbows go?
I know what they do. I done watched the Hunger Games twice.
You know that pitch meeting went like, okay, here's the idea. The power's gone out. And the guy across is like, okay, cool. I'm with it. And the power's gone out. Right, but what's next? Oh, bring in the hookers.
Crossbows.
Bring in the crossbows. Well, what about all the guns? They're gone. They only work on electricity.
I don't know. Details. Let's just get it greenlit.
Also, I don't think you can claim the on symbol as your television show's logo. That's the on symbol. You need that.
That's
for
the Swiss
turning stuff
flag.
On.
If Tracy Chapman's Revolution song isn't in there, I'm out.
I got a revolution.
No.
Revolution's a revolution. I gotta get a crossbow.
That's not right. And finally, the sturgeon are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
Laramie, I'm gonna be dead serious with you. Have you thought about going on tour?
That revolution never happened. She was up on stage whispering, didn't come down. Thanks, Tracy.
I only knew Fast Car.
That was a good song,
it's a really
too,
good
though.
Song.
Speed so fast, the revolutions went really high.
Maybe I got a crossbow. Shooting sideways is going to go real straight.
The opening scene to Revolution should be some guy regretting he paid his power bill.
What?
The opening scene to Revolution should be some guy regretting he paid his power bill.
Oh, they
son of a
you.
Bitch!
Damn it!
God damn it, I just paid it yesterday.
I have had a negative balance on my T-Mobile bill for 6 months now.
You know, my dad's credit is so bad that at one point...
How bad is it? Is this a bit?
No, this is not a bit. At one point, the power company, PG&E, made him pay like $1,000 deposit.
And, this is a front of money, basically?
And basically, like, if PG&E says you have to pay a $1,000 deposit, you can't just be like, oh, well, I'm just going to go across to the street to the other power company. There's one power company. If they say you
want electricity or do you want
to
live in Revolution?
It's like, well, I guess I better pay. And like, it's not like a deposit, like you pay a deposit on your apartment. Like, you just have to basically pay them $1,000. Otherwise, your power stays off.
They're not only betting he won't pay the bill, but that he might just leave all the lights on forever.
That would have served him so good.
I don't need your fucking deposit. I'm gonna light my way with this crossbow.
I'm buying all the halogen I can find.
The other bad credit story is one of our good friends. His dad had the repo man looking for the car, and so he always parked the car in the garage.
Who's this?
This is Steve's dad.
Did that work?
Yeah, they never found the car.
That's such a simple plan.
He would
leave it outside.
You can't leave it outside because they might find it. So you'd always park it in the garage.
Is the garage just locked?
No, the repo man doesn't go. He doesn't know where he lives, but he's looking for a specific make and model of a car.
I mean,
just out on the street.
That plan is brilliant in its simplicity.
Yeah, just hide in the garage.
That's the revolution of repo men plans.
Driving a revolution.
Whisper.
Park my car. In the garage. Too many
syllables. Oh, so that's the actual
name
of the song.
To scare off the repo man.
Hello, I'm here to get power. That will be $1,000, please, sir. But that's so much power.
So I found
it might go to my head.
It's intoxicating.
Did you ever see the movie In Time?
I never saw it.
Genius.
I watched parts of it. It looked bad.
I found a supercut of In Time that I think...
They just keep talking about time and how much you don't have time.
It gets down to the brass tacks of In Time.
You don't have enough time, and how do you need more time?
Time. 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 Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time. Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time.
Time. Time.
Time. Time. Time.
Time. There's a few more minutes of that. But turns out they say time a lot.
I hardly noticed. No. I thought it was going to be a lot of we're out of time, but I just like that it's just time. Time, time, time. I watched a little bit of it. I don't hate Timberlake, but I don't like him as a starring role either.
Yeah,
I don't know if that makes sense.
We jumped the gun a little bit. Like, you know, he's got a couple funny things that he can do when he's like, hamming it up, and then everybody's like, oh, he's obviously a genius comedic actor. And you're like, maybe not.
I don't know about him as a full starring role. Because I saw him in a couple of the supporting roles, and I liked him. But then I watched a little bit of that movie, and it's like, maybe not full-on Timberlake.
Yeah.
So he's in Trouble with the Curve, weirdly.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the Red Sox scout.
Does he have Trouble with the Curve?
He was a former pitcher that blew his arm out because they didn't – weirdly, they over-pitched him, which is like computers would tell you not to. So that one, I don't know, mixed message. But so he's the Red Sox scout, and he's scouting the first pick, and Eastwood's the Brave scout, and he's scouting the second pick. So they're kind of in competition, but he also scouted Timberlake back in the day, so they're friends, right? Here's what doesn't make sense. Timberlake's doing this job for 1 year until he can become the Red Sox announcer.
What?
Do they normally let the person scouting the number one pick announce the next year?
That's the traditional path of baseball.
Okay,
classic
I didn't know.
Baseball
I didn't
move.
Know.
Larry, I really like you, but you talking about this movie makes me want to go to sleep. It seriously sounds like the worst thing ever.
I'm going to pay for you to see it.
Hi, this is Arnold, your training partner. It is important to begin each exercise session with a few minutes of warm-ups. This will increase your heart rate and pump blood out to your muscles where it will be needed.
Especially your boner.
Use this warm-up time to whet your appetite and to get your mind ready for the workout.
You don't work out with a boner.
Listen to this music and begin moving in half-time. Stretch all limbs briefly and get ready to do 10 knee bends with me. I call them squats, and they're excellent for getting the blood moving into your knees and legs. With your feet shoulder width apart and keeping your back straight, bend down until your thighs are parallel to the floor.
Breathe
in as you go down.
Why is the music so loud?
I think it's a mashup.
Squeeze your wiener as hard as you can. It fills it with blood, with the rest of your body. I could listen to that for hours.
If you have a maid like me, you can have a squeeze the winner for you.
We know for China's. Mm. You guys are terrible at Arnold.
Yeah, that was bad.
Who, Brendan's good. Brendan, give us just some. Give us a taste.
Squeeze your glutes. If that doesn't work, squeeze your maid's glutes.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks.
And out as you come up. Ready now?
To come down to California.
California. Everybody used to the pronunciation of that one.
California. Mm.
California.
I call them squats. What do other people call them?
Arnold. Arnold. Yeah,
that is a good question.
He's got the Arnold press, right? Where you do the military press, where you turn it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's his. He owns that. That's in the books. It's in the Gold's Gym book, that's not true. His book.
I do like how I don't check him out too much anymore, but like Flex and Muscle and Fitness, every second issue is just an Arnold on the cover. We talk to Arnold again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like how Flex, it's like the whole magazine is just, if you're not taking a ridiculous amount of steroids, there's no reason for any of it.
You're never going to get in the magazine, that's for sure.
Yeah.
How many times have you been on, Ben?
Oh, no, I am not doing nearly enough steroids to be in that magazine.
Ronnie Coleman is many times larger than Arnold ever was.
Oh, way, yeah. It's not even, absolutely. It's exponentially larger.
Like, his legs look preposterous.
Hey, well, anyone currently is...
Can he only wear the tank tops that have just the thinnest, like the shoulder strap where it's like he ripped a shirt?
I went and saw, this is a couple years ago, after he won his first Mr. Olympia, saw Jay Cutler.
How many Mr. Olympia has
Jay Cutler won now?
No.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
Ronnie, I think, won 8. For those of you uninitiated, Jay Cutler is also a bodybuilder, and he's gigantic. He's like 5'9", 5'10". And he doesn't look like a human when you
Do
see
they
him
say
person.
He's 5'9", 5'10"? Because that probably means he's about 5'6".
No, okay. No, I saw him. Normal height, but like his arms look like there are legs coming out of his shoulders. It's just because, and this is also not when he's super cut up on stage.
Yeah,
like, he's still gigantic. It's not like he's fat, but he's just a massive human. And I mean, I just can't imagine that the bodybuilders back in the day were gigantic, but nothing.
Well, now it's like Arnold. I mean, he was preposterously muscular, but now, like, Ronnie Coleman, you can't – there's no way you could have a normal life like that guy. Like,
what else is he going to do?
Like, he couldn't wear normal clothes. He can't, like, sit in a
but
normal chair.
At the same
there's
time,
really nothing that he can do that's, like,
for anyone
a
that doesn't know who
being.
Ronnie Coleman is, go onto YouTube and just search because there's clips of him online lifting. Just watch, like, 2 minutes of it. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is so good.
He's, like, the more positive version of the existential buffoon, where it's just, like, the happy, right. The happy-go-lucky buffoon.
All he does is lift super,
the
super...
inspirational buffoon.
Yes.
Because all he does is lift crazy...
Tony Robbins of buffoons.
He really is.
He lifts crazy, like, crazy weight.
A lot of people want to be a bodybuilder. Not a lot of people want to lift the weight.
Everyone want to be a bodybuilder. Ain't no one want to lift no heavy-ass weight. But I do. And then he lifts like a billion pounds. Yeah. Just, yeah, buddy. Lightweight ain't nothing but a peanut. That's what he says over and over. If you don't know who Ronnie Coleman is, he's a 300-plus pound behemoth of a human.
Who's probably like 5'10".
Yeah. No, but not a lot of body fat either. And like on his videos, you can see what he eats. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's funny because like those guys that do that much steroids, when you see him flexing, like their stomach looks really, really buff and stuff. And then when they're not flexing, like they get that ridiculously distended belly. Like they look like rhinoceroses, basically.
He's just eating chicken like 8 times a day, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And lots of chicken 8 times a day.
A lot of skinless chicken breast.
Yeah, a lot of chicken, a lot of beans, a lot of egg whites, a lot of oatmeal.
I worked on the infomercial for the ab scissor. And, you know, of course we had to have a bodybuilder to... demonstrate the ab scissor.
Is it ab scissor or ab sizer?
Scissor. Ab scissor. And he was talking about all his different regimens, and he actually had brought along a measuring cup because apparently he keeps such close track of how much liquids that he was taking in and out that all of his liquids that he would take in were in, you know, bottles. He would keep track of exactly how much water he was taking in. And then he would also pee into a measuring cup to see exactly how much pee was going out of him on any given day. And
Measure the urine.
Yeah, he measured the urine.
Wow.
It's the engine, bro. You got to put fuel in it.
Measure my piss.
If I got to a point where I'm measuring piss, I better have someone measuring it for me.
Measuremypiss.com/heartache.
Measuremypiss.tumblr.com. Get your shit together. Get your mind right. Every nigga in is smarter than Albert Einstein, looking at it from hindsight.
Hope the shit starts sinking in. For us to say you be stinking. I'm not even being sarcastic when I say that's an awesome song.
It is.
Laramie?
Yes?
Thanks for your lists and for your spirit.
Oh, just a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right, well, just let's put this one to bed. Thanks, Mike Eisenberg.
You lifted this podcast like a balloon full of helium.
He really did. His lists are
happiness.
Laramie, have you thought about doing lists full time?
I have.
And?
I put a lot of Craigslist out there, but no one has taken me up on them yet. So
it's ironic that you got turned down on Craigslist for doing lists.
Yeah, well, can't win them all.
Thanks, Mike Eisenberg, for coming on, the official sponsor of the live broadcast in Chicago.
Tall Tale Productions, check it out.
Yeah.
Do it.
If you need a music video or a wedding video, Brandon should probably do a live read at some point. Maybe not tonight, but at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And thanks, everyone, for backing the project. We're so happy to come out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Brennan?
All right.
You know, do your thing and take us out of here.
You make me feel like I haven't wasted my life for a brief period.
If only for a shiny moment.
Mm. I mean, I've only wasted my life for like 28 years, not all 33.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks to all our guests for coming on. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415. Oh, fuck. We had some good emails this week. I guess we'll read them next time.
Yeah.
415-275-0030.
We used to listen to voicemails. Frogcast@gmail.com. And until next week, good night and good.